So in the monastic traditions, I have been told there is this invitation, opportunity to again and again step into the intention of non-harming, you know, with the five trainings. And I think it's really beautiful to actually also doing it during the retreat. Not that we formally now chant them again, but having this moment where we all, in our own ways, consciously, once again, incline ourselves towards this beautiful potential of the human heart of non living a life of not intentionally harming another living being through expressions of our body, our mind, our speech. Mean that we have to be perfect, doesn't mean that at times sometimes ill will arises, but we can reconnect with this intention. Just maybe giving this a moment of delighting together in this intention, silently. Really honoring this ethical sensitivity of the human heart. In this way. And I also would like to invite you to renew maybe even delight once again into this generous offering of silence to each other. So precious. So beautiful. Renewing this intention of non-harming, renewing this intention of offering the precious gift of safety around us, renewing this beautiful intention of offering a container of silence to each other, this co-creation of something precious and worthwhile. Thank you. So one could say that everything we think, our intentions, like the intentions we just named right now, anything we do, we assume has an effect. Has an effect on this body, mind, and heart, will shape us will incline us, has an effect on us, again on this body, mind, heart, on this citta, mind, heart, and will have an effect on those around us. You know, and those around us might be humans, non-humans, environment. What we cultivate, what we give energy to, what we dwell in, will shape us. It shapes the heart mind. The same thing, I'm just saying it slightly differently. It will shape how the self is arising. So again, I'm really using now the language of how the self is arising rather than it's what the self does. It was unchanging. And it's a real, might not sound like a lot, but it's actually quite a shift in perception. What we cultivate, we'll give energy to and dwell in, and what we dwell in will flow into our actions, relationships, to us, world, and so forth. What we cultivate, what we incline our heart mind, also will inform and influence how we perceive and look at the world, how we view the world, our role in it. It will give sense, it will give meaning, it will give purpose or not. Once again, it will shape how we arise and how the world is arising with it. So we are really engaging in our lives, if we are consciously or not, in this dynamic process of relating to world, and the world is arising accordingly. Because what we will also discover in our practice, that whatever we hold in our consciousness is perceived through a particular quality, through the particular quality present in heart mind in this moment. Like right now, you know, you sitting here with each other have probably all kinds of different moods, feelings, sensations, you know, colorings in your heart mind operating, and it will perceive how you perceive yourself, me, each other in this moment. So we perceive ourselves and other through always through the quality of heart mind that is at work in the moment. We, other world, will arise according to the quality of my heart mind at work at the moment. So, and when we come then to the Buddhist teachings, you know, one could say the teachings, they are not so, the primary concern is not about how the world is. Yeah. But how the world is related to and responded to. How life, self, other is related and responded to. This is what we are working with. We are not making ultimate statements, but we are looking at different ways of relating, of perceiving, and seeing how this will affect the heart mind. So I never did this. I just want to offer like a little practice with this, playing with perceptions. So we have the breath. We have all ideas about the breath. We can have a very materialistic, realistic in quotation mark perception. It's oxygen coming through the nose, the mouth, filling the lungs. You know, I'm not a very good in anatomy. You know, and then all kinds of things happening in the body. And then we breathe out again. And it's like air entering here or here and then coming out again. And many, many, that's one way of perceiving breath. It's a worthwhile perception. Yeah. But it's not the only way, and it's also not the only way. No, we can perceive breath as I think Sarah, you said it yesterday, as opening up to some kind of energy, isn't it? Yeah. I just want to play a little bit with this. So just, if you wish, close your eyes. You can also keep them gently closed. Connecting with the breath, with the movement of in-breath and out-breath. And then perceiving the in-breath as your in-breath. Your in-breath, you are breathing in. You are performing your in-breath. And then this body allows its out-breath. So the body is actively, although we don't have to do it actively, it's happening anyway, but the body is actively breathing in, breathing out. And you know this. This is where you rest with your awareness, where you hang out with your attention. In breath, out breath, happening. One could say this body doing it. It's really very light, very playful exercise, really, to play with it along. And letting go of this perception breath. Again, many different ways. Now opening up to the perception that breath is breathing you. A slightly different relationship to breath will have a slightly different effect on our being, this perception. Breath, breathing up. But yesterday, maybe even delighting in breathing up. And our task is to open. To welcome the in-breath and to relax and to release with the out-breath as if the breath is inviting us. In this way. This opening to the tidy rhythmic flow of in-breath and out-breath, entering the breathing. Letting the breath enter this way, letting it breathe up. And then letting go of this perception of breath. In both perception, just want to point it out, there was still a sense of self, isn't it? Like a sense of, you know, there's a center, I'm breathing or I'm being breathed. And now it just takes us a little bit more out. Again, not making this a better way of perceiving, it's a different one. Relating to breath as breathing happening. Doesn't need an object that it's breathed. It's breathing happening. The movement of in-breath, the movement of out-breath unfolding without any ownership, needed, without any subject needed to be breathed or to actively breathe. Letting go of the thought. Could some of you sense the difference between these different ways of perceiving? Which one is a true one? They all have their particular unfolding. They all have particular discoveries they can offer. And they all also somehow limiting in some way. Yeah. And sometimes to really give ourselves the permission to perceive in this different way. Sometimes in the walking, I'm walking. Or walking is happening. Just really playing with this and sensing how is self, how is the sense of self arising. We are curious how it impacts, how it affects. And we're never making a statement about how the press ultimately is. And what happens when we have a sense of strong ownership or strong perception of something is happening to me? Yeah. What happens when this is operating? Again, not making it wrong or that it shouldn't happen, but to understand what is the effect. You know, one could say if there is a sense of strong ownership, this is happening to me, it will always bring with it, and we can sense it if we become sensitive, some kind of contraction, some level of identification, stronger and stronger identification. And I will say a little bit more about this in a moment, what this may mean, among other things, identification. And with this, what also most likely will come, more sense of a separate self, this is happening to me. And we lose an ability, to some degree, the ability to relate creatively to what is happening, because there is a fixing quality. Does it make sense when I'm saying it like this? Really want to make it just like that one really experience. We can know this, that I'm fixing around things. I'm solidifying, I'm contracting, I'm tensing around experience. One could say that my awareness is shrinking around a particular aspect of my experience. I become it. This is one way one could say I'm identifying with something. My awareness shrinks there. All there is in awareness. With it, I lose a sense of malleability, creativity, pliability, flexibility, and so forth. And when there is any movement of aversion, of clinging, operating, it will always mean that there is some degree of tensing, of contracting, of densing. What it does, this is what these movements do, these qualities of aversion, these reactions of aversion, of clinging. It's this movement of, you know, and the movement of clinging is the same, it has the same contraction as has aversion. Again, does it make sense? And then we come to the teachings, and then like yesterday, we said welcoming, welcoming. What is welcoming doing? It softens. Yesterday, some of you said, yes, spaciousness. So one could say a softening, a degree of spaciousness equates less identification. So not, again, I'm not saying all this with any value judgment that this shouldn't happen, but it's to understand it. So when we are contracted around something, and if something painful is happening, we will be contracting. That's part of the pain, you know, the contraction around. First of all, we need to recognize this. That this is happening, and then, you know, with kindness, with gentleness, to see when and if we are open to soften, to invite the possibility of losing the grip, of loosening the grip around a particular experience, not because it's wrong, but because it's painful. And there are many different ways to do this. There are many, many, many different meditative tools, many different meditative suggestions, and I will invite one in a moment. Yeah. And we will pick up more. How can we loosen the grip, the painful grip of identifying this experience in this way of making them the experience to mean some ultimate truth about who and what we are. And we really have to start to question ourselves, you know, with this. And again, something we will pick up, you know, if there is pain arising, is what would be a way, you know, and sometimes when we are really in the grip, there isn't the flexibility, absolutely not, yeah. But as soon as there is some space, like, how can I see this slightly different to invite an opening? No. When, you know, I mentioned Rob Obeya at the beginning. And he really, really could annoy me. So I was in my stories, and then he would say, Kirsten, can you see this differently? And sometimes I would say, wow! Can you see this differently? Sometimes this was not the most helpful remark, actually. You know, sometimes what my heart would have needed was, oh, this sounds really painful, dear Kirsten. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, bless you. So, So I just want to offer now one particular way. And again, you know, we are putting out now meditative suggestions, play with them, work with them if you wish. We have others we mentioned yesterday, and we're giving you, so to say, more tools, and you can pick them up when appropriate. Yeah. So we offer just a tool, and it might be one you know very well. It's about this invitation of widening awareness. So in the moment, we had this movement of downward, you know, really downward, upward, like the verticality of our being, centeredness. Yeah. And now we are inviting this opening, this widening from this sense of centeredness, central axis, widening awareness. In the meditation, you can use your hands to do this, you know, and it might be just awareness is filling the whole of your body a little bit beyond. Again, it's not about the bigger, the better. We're playing with perception. Or awareness might become really, really spacious. And then, of course, it will shrink again. You know, there will be maybe an experience, a phenomena in our experience arising. We meet with dislike or with whatever, with cling, and whoop, awareness will shrink. Not a problem. We invite it to open up again. Can use the breath, in-breath, to support us in this widening, this opening up, in breath, and with the out breath relaxing into it. We always have the earth to support us, and we always can return to this intention of widening again and again, no matter how many times we shrink. So, if not done already, so take your seat. Bringing the body into the gesture of sitting. And the beginning of the sitting, again, moment of contacting, really want to enjoy, want to establish our sense of verticality, of uprightness. This might be supported by this intention of downward movement into the holding of the earth, this giving ourselves to the gravitational pull of earth as an invitation to relax, to release, to know the holding, to know the support, enabling the upward movement, the spine loud, the loud to rise, to extend itself from this place of this foundation of this basis of unshakability, settledness in the lower part of the body. Finding your unique uprightness. Knowing your rootedness, your groundedness. Knowing your dynamic uprightness of the body. Even enjoying the sense of verticality and rootedness and groundedness. Wow. Sense a quality of strength in the lower part of the body and spaciousness, awakeness in the upper part. No problem if not. From this sense of centeredness, of verticality, letting the awareness extend, widen, inviting your awareness to open up. Again, you might use your hands to support you, you might use breath, you might use sound, nearby sounds, sounds from far further away. Might have a sense that your awareness is like a fragrance, like a smell that emanates from the center line in all directions, filling your whole body and maybe even beyond. Of course, we don't force awareness to open. We invite it. We play with the possibility. Extending awareness, of opening awareness. Letting it in this way become more inclusive. Why? Open container which experiences unfold, happen. Their own time rising in staying a little bit. The in-breath, you want to extend your awareness like you would extend a balloon. And see what image works for you. Let the fragrance of awareness emanate further and further. You're enlarging the vessel, the container of awareness. All slightly different images. Pick the one that works for you, and maybe you have your own image. But still having this sense of verticality, of centeredness. We are not spacing out. We become more spacious. We invite possibility, spaciousness. Again and again. anytime you find yourself contracted around this physical sensation, this emotional pattern, this strain of thought, this worry, no need to push it away, no need to make it a problem. No need to become it. See if you can invite, you have the ability to widen your awareness. This can be helped. Experience wider, bigger, spacious, more spacious container, more spacious vessel. We allow ourselves this way of relating, this very particular way of relating right now. Any contraction around an experience, mental, emotional, physical, it's not a failure. We want to understand. The tendency to contract and thus identify, solidify, and reify experience, and also the heart mind's ability to know this and to invite. Allow some degree of spaciousness. Sometimes our heart mind is not able to extend to give it more spaciousness. Then even this doesn't mean anything. Doesn't make any, doesn't state any ultimate truth about where you are in your practice, in your life, what is possible for you and what not. Knowing maybe that sometimes we have to accept. We feel a little bit stuck around an experience. This accepting already would give it some space. Will already invite some spaciousness. Otherwise, inviting awareness again and again to widen, to stretch, to become more inclusive. Also knowing that a worse mind, the craving mind heart, the confused heart mind, the tired and restless heart mind, will have less access, will have less spaciousness. It's how consciousness works. It's not your fault.